Good morning, Chair.
How are you, honorable members?
We are fine.
Njani.
I'm good.
Morning, Chair.
Good morning, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm good, Chair. And yourself?
I'm good. Where is Masiko?
I'm not sure.
Did she land safe last night? Yesterday,
yes,
I was
Chair.
Masiko and Carol. Carol is writing exam today.
Good luck to Carol.
Yes, ma'am.
Missing you, Chair.
Missing you too. Is the department in, Nelly?
Yes, yes. Chair. Both departments, Chair. Terco and Department of Women.
And Home Affairs.
Oh, and Home Affairs.
Okay.
But see,
good morning, honorable members. I declare this meeting officially open. I greet you all, ministers and officials who are present at today's meeting.
Recording in progress.
And, don't mind my gadget. I mean, trying to use both my phone and my iPads because my laptop has got a serious challenge. So it has been taken to Apple Store, so that they can look at it. So I'll open and close my video. But I can open so that you can see me, that I'm ready for the meeting. Can you see me?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. All right. I welcome everyone who's part of the meeting. And maybe what I can do now is to allow Nelisa to give us the apologies.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, a delegation from both departments, all departments. Chairperson, I have received two apologies from Honorable Member, Honorable Songo, and Honorable Piri. But then there's the other one, which is Honorable Sharif, who's also not well. Honorable Piri's writing exam, and also Honorable Songo has been booked off by the doctor until 9th November. I've also received apologies from the Minister of Women, who's traveling to Senegal, Dakar, and also the apology from the Minister from the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. She's also on state visit, Chairperson. Those are the apologies that I have received, I think, to Egypt here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Nelly. I was with the minister yesterday. Yeah, I know she's traveling to, I don't know whether, to overseas, but I was not sure whether she's going today. But I know I was with her yesterday in the meeting. That even for questions, maybe she would ask someone to do the questions for her. But those are the only apologies from our members. I saw the sick note that you sent to me for Honorable Songo. And you said who else? From Honorable Members and Carol?
Honorable Pierre Che.
Yeah, Honorable, she's now writing her exam. Thank you very much, Nelisa. Let's go straight to the items of today. What is the item, the next item?
Okay, we're going to receive a presentation from the Department of Women and DERCO on the progress made with regards to the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development, Chair.
Okay.
That's the first item, Chair.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Nelly. So I hope that the Department of Women have are done with the consultation, with the consultations with other departments. And hopefully today we're going to finalize the report. There won't be any discrepancy. We thought that they delayed because they wanted to do a thorough consultation and then look at all the clauses that they were presenting, so that at least when we go to the House and adopt the report, we adopt the report based on the things that they have rectified in terms of our policies, our laws in the country. So I can now hand over to the Department of Women.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether you can see me or not. I am not at home, so my video is not. I will switch off the radio because you can see in my background. It's not that good. Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to the Chairperson and all the members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much for allowing us to come and present to you today. I'll request Ms. Bongi Mapalweni to flight. No, let me not say Bongi. I'm not sure whether it's Bongi or, okay. Yes, the protocol, yeah. Go to slide 3, skip slide 2, and go straight to slide 3. Thank you very much once again. As we all know, because we are not presenting for the first time here, we're coming here for the third time. I'll just go through a certain slides, but some I'll skip them. South Africa signed the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development on 17 August 2008. And on the 29th of October 2012, South Africa ratified the protocol and it entered into force on 22nd February 2013. The SADC Protocol is legally binding instrument which SADC member states are expected to domesticate or align their national laws and implement them nationally. Next slide. The SADC ministers responsible for gender and women affairs that was held on the 23rd of June 2016 in Gaborone made recommendations for the amendment to the SADC Protocol. The proposed amendments were made to ensure that the SADC Protocol, first of all, provides the empowerment of women, elimination of discrimination, and the promotion of gender equality and equity through gender-responsive legislation programs and projects, and that it aligns its objectives to various global human rights instruments, targets, and emerging issues, including UN Sustainable Development Goals, the African Union Agenda 2063, and the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action. Next slide, Bongi. The last time, as indicated, that we're appearing for the third time, the last time there were areas of contestation, and now there is no contestation. We are agreed with DECO. I think if they are going to be given an opportunity to present, they will indicate that the opinion that they've given us now agrees with that of the state advisor. And what we have been saying as a department, that yes, even though our laws were permitting. However, as a country, we have ratified instruments and then amend legislation after. But also, you will see later as I present that the Department of Human of Home Affairs has even developed a white paper which was approved by cabinet, which prohibits marriages for children under 18 years. So there is not, yes, the laws might still be saying parents or the child can apply to Home Affairs, but the white paper now says that is not even going to be allowed. So there is no contestation. So I would like to go to the next slide. The domestic procedures that have been followed in terms of section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, it is stipulated that an international agreement binds the Republic only after it has been approved by resolution in both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, unless it is an agreement referred to in subsection 3. The agreement amending the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development falls within the ambit of Section 231, Subsection 2, and therefore it required the approval of Parliament before it can be signed. In order to comply with the constitutional provision, the department submitted the agreement amending the SADC Protocol to the National Assembly in 2019. South Africa was invited to brief the Portfolio Committee on women thereafter. My apology, I think it's not South Africa, it's the department that has been invited to brief the Portfolio Committee. In 2020 and 2021, respectively, the department inquired with Parliament to check the status of Parliament. The process was resuscitated and put on the program on both the NCOP and the National Assembly. Just to rectify this one, Chairperson, when we inquired, you indicated that you had instructed the department to go and consult with Home Affairs and DECO, since they were two contradicting opinions from the Office of the Chief Statewide Advisor and that one from DECO. However, the department didn't follow up on that one. We concede we are the ones who were on the wrong, Chairperson. On the 21st of September 2021, the department briefed the Select Committee on Health and Social Services in the National Council of Provinces. Next slide. On 13 October 2021, the NCOP approved the agreement amending the SADC Protocol. On 1st December 2021, the department conducted a briefing to the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. The Portfolio Committee requested that the relevant departments must discuss the matter and recommend an amicable solution on the matter. The impacted departments were the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, the Department of Home Affairs, the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, as well as the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. Next slide, boom. On the 23rd of May, Minister Maite Nkwanamashaban wrote to the president to request this intervention to get support of DECO for this matter to be finalized, because that was after few meetings were had been held with officials from DECO. However, they were adamant that they are not going to give us a positive opinion. My apology, Chair. On the 23rd of May, Minister Nkwanamashabane wrote to the President to request his intervention to get the support of DECO for this matter to be finalized, given that South Africa is already party to other UN and AU instruments that prohibit child marriages. These instruments include the Protocol to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights, on the rights of women in Africa, the Maputo Protocol African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child, as well as the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. On 13 July, the minister, Minister Naledi Pandor, advised the president that DECO will support the signing of the agreement amending SADC protocol on gender and development, subject to approval of both NCOP and National Assembly. The revised Office of the Chief State Law Advisor legal opinion dated 30 June 2022 was also included, outlining the basis on why South Africa should proceed to sign the agreement. This opinion was also shared with the committee to provide the context. Next slide, Bongi. South Africa's domestic procedure continued. The Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities also requested to expedite the process of developing legislation to comply with SADC protocol on gender and development. Chairperson, my apology once more again. It is not the department that is requested, it is the Department of Home Affairs, because it is the Department of Home Affairs that can develop legislation to comply with the issue at hand now. To date, the Department of Home Affairs has developed the white paper on marriages in South Africa to lay a foundation for national policy aimed at enacting laws that are grounded on the principle of equality and address non-discriminatory marriages. However, the white paper also prohibits marriages for children below 18 years. The white paper was approved by Cabinet in March 2022. Next slide, Bongi. The significance of the SADC region. South Africa plays a significant role not only in the social and economic affairs of the SADC region, but of the African continent at large. SADC region is therefore the entry point to South Africa's women empowerment agenda. South Africa is amongst the countries in the SADC region that have developed National Action Plan on Women, Peace and Security, which is aimed at implementing the UN Security Council Resolution 1325. South Africa was the first country to call for the African Union to develop the AU Convention on Ending Violence Against Women and Girls in Africa. To date, this position is receiving support of more countries in Africa, including Senegal, the DRC, and the others. This is where Minister is going to at Senegal, because the president there will be hosting the second summit on positive masculinity, but also focusing on ending gender-based violence. South Africa was elected with the endorsement of the Southern African Region and Africa Group as the chair of the UN Commission on the Status of Women for 2022-2023. Next slide, Bongi. So I think South Africa must lead. South Africa must always be seen as the country that leads. We can't be leading when we are allowing our children to be married below 18 years. In June 2022, SADC meeting of ministers of gender and women's affairs held in Malawi noted that South Africa and Mauritius were the only SADC member states that had not signed an agreement amending the SADC protocol. And I think it is known that Mauritius doesn't sign many of the protocols. So which means in South Africa only amongst the countries that signed, that had not signed. It was however mentioned that Mauritius has already amended the legislation and ready to sign and ratify the SADC protocol on gender and development. According to SADC ministerial meeting resolved, accordingly, the SADC ministerial meeting resolved that both countries should accelerate the necessary processes to enable them to sign the agreement amending the SADC protocol. It must be noted that South Africa had requested extension a number of occasions on the past deadlines, hoping to obtain both houses of parliament to grant approval. However, only the NCOP was able to grant such approval in 2021. It was expected that in 2022, the agreement amending the SADC protocol would be printed and distributed to all stakeholders with signatures of the member states that have already signed. However, South Africa missed that opportunity. It is recommended, it is requested that the portfolio committee consider and support the adoption of the report for signing of the agreement amending the SADC protocol on gender and development. The portfolio committee is requested also to expedite the process of obtaining the resolution of the National Assembly for South Africa to sign the agreement in line with Section 231 of the Constitution. It is anticipated that, subject to the parliamentary approval, South Africa will sign the agreement by no later than August 2023 during the SADC summit of the heads of states and government. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Did you, you're done?
Yes, I said thank you.
Oh, okay. Is there any clarity seeking question, honorable members? Or let's give the next department to present.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, let me get the next department.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. This is Zain Dango, the DG of DIRCO.
Oh, sure, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Zain. Hey, long time, Zain, eh?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Okay. Sure, yes, you're welcome. We're
sitting in a boardroom as a team. But just quickly, I think the presentation from DG Maluleka has shortened the kind of opening remarks I wanted to give. DIRCO has been requested to brief the committee on two matters. The one is the changes on the legal opinion to the agreement to amend the SADC protocol on gender and development, which DG Maluleka just referred to, and the fact that we had changed the legal opinion from the initial approach that we had taken. My colleague, Advocate Stemmett, will go through the legal opinion in a bit more detail to explain why we made those changes. Essentially, what he will explain is that there is conflicts between the international, the SADC, changed SADC proposed protocol and our domestic law. But this conflict only exists in the international law relationship between South Africa and SADC. And as you will also point out, is that these kind of treaty obligations do not automatically form part of South African domestic law until it is incorporated by legislation. But that being said, we support the amendment as indicated by DG Maluleka. And we also stress the fact that it's imperative that our domestic legislation must be amended so that it's in line with the existing international norms and applications, but also importantly, Honorable Chair and members, with our constitutional norms and other legislation on the same issue, including the Children's Act, for example. So in essence, what we're saying and what DG Maluleka is saying is that the mischief lies with our own domestic law, which still allows for differential permission for children to get married. So there's a different age of marriage for girls and a different age of marriage for boys, but both under the age of 18. But with that brief introductory remarks, Jay, if I can hand over to my colleague, Advocate Stemmett, to just go through the presentation in a bit more detail. Advocate Stemmett, over to you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Director General, colleagues, thank you for the opportunity to brief the committee on this important matter. As you've seen, we are going to brief you on two issues. The one is the amended legal opinion in regard to the agreement amending the SADC protocol on gender and development, and then a legal opinion on the amendment of Article 20 sub 1 of the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, CEDAW, as you know. So starting off with the issue of the SADC agreement that amends the protocol on gender and development. The background is that the agreement has been signed by a number of SADC member states on the 31st of August 2016, as we've heard from DG Maluleka. The agreement amends the SADC protocol on gender and development, which was signed on the 17th of August 2008. Now, Article 6 of the agreement aims to amend Article 8 sub 2 sub A of the SADC protocol. Prior to the amendment, this provision read as follows. No person under the age of 18 shall marry unless otherwise specified by law, which takes into account the best interests and welfare of the child. Now, the amended Article 82A places a clear and total prohibition on marriages of any person under the age of 18, because it simply stipulates that no person under the age of 18 shall marry, and there's a full stop. There's no conditionalities after that. It's a prohibition. So currently, the domestic law of South Africa, in both the Marriages Act of 1961 and the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act of 1998, provides for exceptions allowing persons under 18 to marry under certain conditions. So it was in line with the original provision in 82A, but it's not in line with the provision as amended. Now, signing of the agreement will result therein that South Africa will become a state party to the agreement, and this will create an international obligation in terms of the agreement as a treaty on South Africa to adhere to the provisions thereof. Now, the agreement provides in Article 23 that it shall enter into force on the date of its adoption by a decision of 3/4 of the member states that are parties to the protocol. It has been signed by 13 of the 15 SADC member states, so on 31st of August 2016, so it is presently in force. Now, previously in our opinions, it was advised that as a result of the existing exceptions to the prohibition of marriages by people under the age of 18 years in South Africa's domestic law, becoming a party to the agreement will create a conflict between the domestic law on the one hand and South Africa's obligation under international law to outrightly prohibit marriage by persons under 18. In addition, South African law also distinguishes between the minimum legal ages of marriage under special circumstances for girls permitted to marry from the age of 12 years and for boys permitted from the age of 14 years. Now, based on policy considerations, the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor International Law at DIRCO was requested to reconsider earlier legal opinions. And these policy considerations included the fact that South Africa is under pressure to sign the agreement, as it brings the protocol in line with generally accepted international norms and law in respect of the age of marriage. And the fact that South Africa is already a party to various international agreements with similar provisions, so that the conflict in this case already exists. And that is the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child, which expressly prohibits such marriages and became binding on South Africa when it ratified it on the 21st of January 2000. And the Maputo Protocol to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights, on the rights of women in Africa, that provides in Article 6B that the minimum age of marriage for women shall be 18, and this was ratified by South Africa on 17 December 2004. Furthermore, the United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination against Women, to which South Africa became a party on 15 January 1996, obliges states parties in Article 2A to include the principle of equality of men and women in their constitutions and legislations. legislation. And in Article 16A specifically obliges states parties to ensure the same rights to men and women to enter into marriage. Furthermore, general comment number 4 of 2003 on the Convention of the Rights of the Child, which was ratified by South Africa on 16 June 1995, recommended that states parties increase the minimum age of marriage in their domestic law to 18 years. And as has been pointed out, it's also important from a foreign policy perspective that South Africa, as part of SADC, become party to the agreement expeditiously. So in light of these policy considerations, a further legal opinion was issued in which the legal effects of a situation where a conflict between domestic law and international obligations exists were explored. Now, one must understand here, I think, that the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa follows a dualist approach with respect to international agreements. So Section 231(2) provides that any agreement only becomes law in the Republic when it's enacted into law by national legislation. So there must be a legislation that incorporates the international law obligation into our domestic law. So the effect of this is that the agreement that amends will not form part of South African domestic law automatically, as it needs to be enacted as part of South African domestic law. But the obligation will still exist on the international plane. So once the agreement is approved by Parliament, it will become binding on South Africa as part of its international obligations flowing from a treaty to which South Africa is part, and it will have to give effect to that in its domestic law. The result is that, as I think the DG has already pointed out, that there's an urgent need for South Africa to expeditiously amend its legislation to prohibit marriage by persons under 18 in order to give effect to its existing international legal obligations, not only in terms of the agreement, the SADC agreement, but also in terms of those that South Africa is already bound to in terms of the agreements entered into before. Honorable Chair, shall I stop here or shall I go on to discuss the amendment of Article 21 of the CEDAW?
Honorable Chair, we were asked to present on two items. The one we've just done, there was a second issue around the amendment of Article 20, Subsection 1 of CEDAW. Should we wait until we have a discussion on the previous agenda item before we go into the presentation on Article 20, Subsection 1 of CEDAW?
Yeah, wait, DG, so that we finish this one first. Yeah.
Thanks. I think we've concluded in this part of the presentation then.
Thank you very much. Let's give a Home Affairs. I can see all your team at DG. Home Affairs? Neliswa?
Chair?
What's wrong now?
Not sure, Chair. We have only requested the Department of Women and the Department of International Relations and Cooperation to present, Chair.
So, Home Affairs, Diona?
Okay.
No, Chair, we didn't. Maybe it was invited by the Department of Women.
Thank you. Okay. So which report must they present now? Must you finish this one first?
Oh, Chair, my apology. The last time when you called us with Home Affairs, so I thought they were invited. It means they are not here.
Okay. That's why I'm asking for Home Affairs. That's why I wanted them to be part of the meeting so that they can... at least tell us what have you agreed upon. Pella, we want to go and present the report to the House so that we adopt it now.
Chair, if you remember, they even submitted a letter from their minister where their minister was supporting the
amendment.
Yes.
No, the it's fine.
The minister even indicated that he's busy with the police, with the white paper. Yes, so they supported.
Okay.
And Justice also supported. So it was only ECO which had not supported.
Oh, okay. So we were done with this one because le uzain akhuluma ngayo it's the second report. It's not this one, ain't it?
Yes, it's the second one. Yes, it's the amendment of the CEDAW, of the Article 21 of CEDAW.
Oh, okay. No, I think we're fine because the things that you were supposed to go and amend and align them with our constitution, they are done. So let me get hands from honorable members to move. Let me get hands from honorable members if there are any clarity seeking questions. Masiko?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to you, good self, honorable members, and all the departmental staff and the two DGs that are in the meeting. Honorable Chair, I think really we must appreciate the work that has been done. This matter has been serving before the Portfolio Committee and giving us great gray hairs for quite some time. I must agree with the DG, Honorable Chair, and say that all the other departments who had presented on the protocol were in agreement. And the only problem or issue or concern that we had as a portfolio committee that prevented us from adopting the report was the reports and the letters that we had received from DECO that were giving concern and prevented us from adopting. Now, Honorable Chair, that DECO is giving us the green light, I really don't see a reason why we as a portfolio committee cannot adopt. I therefore, Honorable Chairperson, move for the adoption and appreciate the work that has gone into it. And really, I must say that the bone of contention was that we had a
recording in progress.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and the departments. We are very glad to hear the very comprehensive report today. I move for second the report.
Thank you very much, Mchangwa, for the secondment of the report. Now the report has been adopted and seconded. So we are going to present the report to the House and for adoption. I see the hand of Honorable Boni. Honorable Boni.
Yes, Chair, thank you. And good morning, Chair, and all members of the committee and the delegations from both departments present on this platform this morning. Chair, I'm also agreeing with the moving and adopting of this report or presentation. But also maybe from my side, Chair, not wanting to waste time, I wanted to say that it will be very good for Africa as a whole, as we all agree, those who have agreed to these instruments and signing of them. Make sure that as we do, let us do and speak in one voice, and making sure that in particular young women at the age of 18 or so on who get married are not going to be in marriages that are abusive, and also to ensure that there's the curbing of trafficking of young women across the continent on the name of being married by someone elsewhere. But make sure that we enforce these instruments together as African continent chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pony, for those constructive comments. We're done with this report. Thank you very much, DG. Let's get the second report.
Thank you, Chair. Bongi, can you please fly? Next slide. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Obvious, the purpose of the presentation today is to request Parliament to approve the amendment of Article 20, Subsection 1 of the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Violence Against Women, the CEDAW Convention. According to Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, an international agreement binds the Republic only after it has been approved by a resolution in both National Assembly and National Council of Provinces. In the light of the above, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities intends to facilitate the signing of the amendment of Article 20, Subsection 1, of the CEDAW Convention. Next slide. South Africa signed the convention on 29 January 1993 and ratified it on the 15th of December 1995 in full without any reservations. The Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women was adopted in 1979 by the UN General Assembly, and it is often referred to as the International Bill of Rights for Women. It entered into force in 1981 and established a committee on the elimination of discrimination against women. It's often referred to as the CEDAW Committee that monitors implementation of the convention by the state parties. The CEDAW Committee is a body of experts on women's rights from around the world and is responsible for monitoring the implementation of the convention. State parties of the convention must submit their periodic reports on the implementation of the convention to the CEDAW Committee. Next slide here. In addition, the CEDAW Committee receives communication from individuals or groups of individuals submitting claims of violations of the provisions of the convention. The committee also hosts meetings of general discussions to consider reports by state parties and other communications. Due to the increased workload of the committee because of more state parties ratifying the convention, the General Assembly adopted a resolution to amend Article 20, Subsection 1 to increase the duration of the committee's meetings. The implications of the proposed amendment is that the duration of the meetings will no longer be limited to 2 weeks per annum, but will be determined by the state parties subject to the approval by the General Assembly. Next slide. In terms of Article 20, Subsection 1, of CEDAW, the committee shall normally meet for a period of not more than 2 weeks. The underlined one is the one that is being amended, of not more than 2 weeks annually, in order to consider the reports submitted in accordance with Article 18 of the current convention. The article as it is currently limits the duration for the meetings of the committee to 2 weeks annually, despite the increase of the workload of the committee due to the increased number of states ratifying the convention, also of civil society organizations sending complaints. The proposed amendment seeks to introduce a procedure that allows for a more flexible time allocation for the meetings of the committee. The proposed amendment replaces the words "not more than 2 weeks annually" with "the committee shall normally meet annually in order to consider the reports submitted in accordance with Article 18 of the present convention. The duration of the meetings of the committee shall be determined by a meeting of state parties to the present convention, subject to the approval of the General Assembly." Next slide. By November 2021, only 20 state parties had accepted the amendment to Article 20, subsection 1, whereas 126 parties are required to accept the amendment to bring it into force. For a state party to accept the amendment, the head of the state or the Minister of Foreign Affairs must sign the instrument of acceptance. However, prior to the signing of the same, the responsible department must obtain approval by Parliament in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution. The draft instrument of acceptance was certified as legally sound by the State Law Advisor, International Relations, and can be submitted to Parliament for approval. Next slide. The process map, as indicated above, an international agreement binds the Republic only after it has been approved by resolution in both houses, the National Assembly and the NCOP. Upon approval by Parliament, the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation will sign an instrument of acceptance on behalf of the state or deposit, on behalf of the state for deposition to the United Nations by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. Therefore, the department hereby submits a request to the Portfolio Committee for approval for signing of, for ratifying the amendment of Article 20 of the Convention. Next slide. Thank you. Chair, thank you very much.
Okay. So, Dango, you can present, DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In fact, given that very detailed presentation, we don't have to present because our presentation would have covered the same issues. Just to, you know, to reaffirm, this is an amendment of a technical nature, as outlined, and it's intended to allow the committee to just change the frequency of their meetings. But given that this is a multilateral agreement, and as indicated by my colleague, the amendment will also constitute an international agreement, and therefore will be required to be passed by both houses of parliament. After that, we will be able to deposit an instrument of acceptance with the United Nations. So, Chair, we agree with the process map that has just been outlined. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, just checking if you heard the comments that we've just made. And over to you, Honorable Chair.
Nelly, please check with the chairperson on the side on whether she is hearing us.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay, honorable members, I think the chairperson might be experiencing some network challenges, but whilst we are still waiting and checking on her, I will request for honorable members who have any clarity seeking questions to indicate so, or maybe comments on the presentation. Okay, honorable. Okay, I see the hand of honorable Boni Marekwa.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just a clarity, Chair, whether the department will assist on this one. The slide, I think, it's slide five. That talks to process map. I just wanted to check, Chair, by which states that by November 2021, only state parties had accepted the amendment to the article, and whereas 126 state parties are still, seems like, for me, it seems like they are still required to accept. Now, I wanted to check maybe from last year to now, has there been any change in terms of those who have not yet accepted the amendment? And yeah, if the department can just give that clarity, or they still have to wait for the next meeting or so. I'm just checking, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Boni. Honorable members, are there any other members who wish to ask clarity seeking questions? Okay,
there's no. On my side, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Masondo. Thank you, members. DG.
My apology, I was speaking whilst I was muted. I think this information came from the committee itself. We have not yet checked whether it has changed or not. But also, I'm not sure whether maybe Deco can come in on this one. But I think it was, this statement was not necessary to be put in here, because South Africa is not dependent on whether how many have ratified. South Africa, as the member, has to sign whether few sign, whether many countries or few countries have signed or not.
Thank you, DG Deco.
Thank you, Chair. I think we on the numbers of countries that have signed to date, we will get an update and give that to the Honourable Chair and the committee. But it does mean that South Africa on its own must also sign, because then we get sure that the numbers go up so that we do meet the threshold. This amendment has been in the offing since 1995. And I think there is now some increased pressure to ensure that it is passed. So we will get an update on the numbers that I have signed since the last update that has been reflected on the slide, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Honorable members, can I then get a hand that will move for the adoption or the agreement to amend? Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, the departments, and I move the adoption of the amendment of the agreement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo. Can I get a hand that moves, that seconds the mover, Honorable Mamhlengwa?
Thank you, Koshe. I second the mover of the report.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mamhlengwa. Honorable members, we have Julie adopted and agreed to the amendment. Neliswa, can I get an indication what then is the next item?
Thank you, Chair. We are going to adopt the three sets of minutes. We're done with the presentation.
Okay, yes. Is the chairperson back?
Not yet. She has asked me to inform you that you must continue with the meeting.
Okay, all right. I think we can then DG Women and DG for DECO appreciate the report that you have given, and thank you very much for attending our meeting. But maybe let me just check with DG in terms of the parliamentary offices, or maybe we could be assisted by our legal services, Dr. Tembe, that there is an office in Parliament for international relations. And I, at some point, heard that they also deal with issues of protocols. Do we or do you as departments engage them as well when it comes to issues of amendments of protocols? DG DECO, I don't know how far do you interact with that office, because I heard that it's headed by Honorable Member Ndombela, and they also process such protocols.
Can I come in, Honorable Chair?
Yes, yes, please.
We perhaps need to increase our engagement with them, but they do engage us when necessary. But perhaps I think the guidance you're giving us that we should try and engage them more often on these kinds of matters. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, DG. For me, the assumption was that also they are aware of what we are also processing as portfolio committees, even though it should be us that must adopt, but they should at least have an idea of the protocols that are coming before us. But thank you very much once again to...
That committee was involved at the time when there was no agreement with the opinions, when the opinions differed, because we had involved them then. But with the amendment of the decido, I think we had not involved them. But it's a process that maybe DECO can follow before they ratify. But also just to indicate to the committee that with the amendment of CEDAW, that process did not or has not yet gone to the NCOP. So I think it will be going to the NCOP soon. The one that has gone to the NCOP is the SADC protocol.
Okay, Tishi, thank you for that clarity. That's why I was saying that we must also get an opinion from our legal services in terms of Parliament, because I don't think that we should only bring that committee in when there is some form of a disagreement on how we move forward on the matter. I think that they should be taken, you know, through the processes as a whole, even from the beginning when you come to present to us as a portfolio committee, they should also be made aware in terms of what is coming before us. But maybe Parliament must also give us, you know, what ought to be happening, you know, and not only engage that committee. Because I do remember I was only also made aware of it when we were having challenges the protocol. And we did engage them, but I was, you know, having thoughts that maybe we should have engaged them even from the beginning when the process was initiated by the department. But nonetheless, we'll have to engage our own parliamentary legal services and get some advice. But I think that DERCO should also do the same. If they are made aware of any protocols, they should also be processing them through the Committee on International Relations. But thank you very much to DGs and your teams, and we greatly appreciate the presentations that you have made. We will have to release you from the platform so we can continue with our business in terms of the agenda items that we have.
Thank you, Chair, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, DG. I see the hand of N. Malefane.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Ntavisseng from DECO. I wanted to respond to the issue of engaging the International Relations Office at Parliament to say that we have engaged them in the past. Normally, we arrange with them to hold briefings on the implications of the international conventions. For example, sometime last year, we arranged a briefing with them on the implications of the conventions on the rights of the child. So we could arrange a similar meeting for this particular convention before it is presented to Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Malefane. And I think it is the best that we do so. Thank you.
Masiko, I'm back now. Can you hear me?
Yes, Chair, I can hear you.
Okay, you can continue. What is the next item?
Chair, I just wanted us to because I'm not sure whether you heard the last matter that I had raised.
Yes, I did.
Okay, maybe we should ask Mr. Tembe, you know, to explain to us what ought to be the process, because do you remember when we were having issues, there was an indication that some of these international agreements that come before us ought to have also been processed by the IR committee headed by Honorable Member Ntombela. And there was that indication as to whether some of these protocols that are before us have been processed by that parliamentary committee.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was just a question.
Yeah, I heard you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, DG. And DG Dango and your team, thank you very much for all the presentations that you have made today. At least there's progress. We're going to then present those protocol to the House. And then the next process will be the one that Masiko is talking about, so that our legal team can tell us on how, what is it that needs to be done in terms of parliamentary processes and procedures. And then I'm not sure how are you going to get the response, but I'm sure through the Office of the Speaker, they can then communicate on what is going to happen. Because we are not sure how do they process those, most of the protocols, because sometimes they say it's the committee, sometimes they say it's Mr. Ntombela, but I think Mr. Ntombela is better placed so that he can give us guidance on what needs to be done. But thank you very much. Masiko, we are done. Eh?
Yes, Chair, we are done. We are left with the adoption of minutes now.
Okay, let's have the minutes.
Chair, these are the minutes of the 21st of October.
Okay, honorable members, I think we've lost the chair once again. Before us are the set of minutes for the Friday, the 21st of October, 2022, where the committee was considering and adopting the committee report on the budgetary review recommendation report, BRR, for the year financial year 2021 to 2022. The minutes, honorable members, were circulated to all of us. We will take them as read. Can I then get an indication of any member that wishes to make amendments to the minutes? Okay, there's no hand. Can I then get an indication or a hand that wishes to move for the adoption of the minutes? Ma'am Hlengwa.
Thank you, Chair. I rise to move the adoption of this minute as a true reflection of what we have deliberated on that day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ma'am Hlengwa. Honorable members, can I get a hand that seconds? Honorable Ngobo.
Thank you, Chair. I support the mover for the adoption of the minutes. Thanks.
Mapolova. Honorable members, the minutes of the meeting of the 21st of October 2022 have been duly adopted. Can we get the second set of minutes, Melissa? Thank you, Nelisa. Honorable members, before us are the minutes for the meeting of the 25th of October, 2022, where the committee was deliberating on the candidates for the filling of vacancies in the Commission for Gender Equality, CGE. The minutes, honorable members, have been circulated to all of us. We will then consider them as read. Can I get an indication if there are any members who wish to make amendments to the minutes that appear before us. Honorable Marekwa.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is not to make amendments, but I raised my hand to move for the adoption of the minutes, Chair. I did not see anything that I needed to amend. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Boni. Honorable members, the minutes have been moved. Can I get a hand that seconds the mover? Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I second the mover of the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much, honorable members. The minutes have been moved and seconded, and they have then been duly adopted by the portfolio committee. Is there a third set, Nelisa?
Yes, last one.
Okay.
I'll share them.
Okay, honorable members, the third and the last set of minutes that are before us are for the portfolio committee meeting, which took place on the 26th of October, 2022, where the committee considered and adopted the committee report on the filling of vacancies in the Commission for Gender Equality, The committee also considered and adopted a set of minutes. These minutes, honorable members, have been circulated to all members, and we shall therefore take them as read, and we'll then move and request for members who wish to make any amendments or corrections to the minutes.
Recording in progress.
Minutes, the consideration of the report of the Portfolio Committee on the filling of vacancies, of the CGE vacancies.
Yes, and you were not part of the Portfolio Committee?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay. All right. Then let's get a member. Thank you for raising that issue, Honorable Ngobo. Let's get a member, Honorable Members, of... But the report, we were not in that meeting when we adopted the report, Honorable Ngob.
No, I was not.
Oh, okay. Honorable members, can I get a member who was present in the meeting to second the mover, which was Mam Hlengwa? Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I second the mover. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for seconding Mam Masondo. Honorable members, the minutes have been adopted, and that being the last set of minutes and also the last item on our agenda. Am I correct, Neliswa?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable members. We have completed the business of this portfolio committee. We don't have any other item and on our agenda. Let us appreciate your attendance and participation in this meeting and wish you a very good morning. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye, Chair.